Good morning, everyone. I hope you're blessed. I am looking forward to the day when we can gather together again. A potluck, a picnic, something. An opportunity to get together and praise God together. It's springtime. Many places around the world, spring is just another season, in a sense. Maybe things are a bit greener, a bit wetter. Maybe they're not. Many places have two growing seasons, or a wet season and a dry season. I feel like here in Saskatchewan, spring is an event, at least for me. We've endured winter, sometimes blizzards, sometimes minus 35 degrees, sometimes minus 50 wind chill. It's usually one or two colors all winter. White, and sometimes dirty white. Sometimes there's some stubble, color that we see. Mostly it's white. Then we get to spring. Warmth, fresh grass, crocuses, tulips, sitting on the deck with a cup of coffee, maybe watching the sunrise, maybe listening to a sermon. In many cases, spring is connected to new life, new fruitfulness. Calves are being born, kittens are on the way, although that can happen other times as well. Seed is going into the ground, flowers are growing, trees are leafing out. Such a time of hope and possibility. I think of farming, and farming is a lot of work. Through the years, I've gained at least a small appreciation for the amount of work that's required to produce our food. I'm also amazed at how little involvement or control a farmer has over the fruit that's produced. You can fertilize, inoculate, irrigate, you can do all of that. However, for 80 or 90 or 100 days, depending on the crop, it's growing. I'm not a farmer or agrologist, so my numbers will be off. But for this illustration, not for farming advice, let's say that 90 days are needed. In summer, we should average, I would think, about 15 or so hours of sunlight per day. That's roughly 1,350 hours of daylight, if not sunlight, that the crops are exposed to. So day after day, hour after hour, that crop grows fruit in a process that the farmer has very little to do with. In fact, it's a process that the plant itself, in some ways, has very little control over. They don't control the sunlight, the rain, the wind. They don't control their own genetics as a plant. All they do is what comes natural to them when given what is needed. In a sense, it's what they're programmed to do, or it's what they're created to do. The apple trees don't produce fruit by trying harder. They produce fruit much the same way as the crops in the field. It's by putting the roots down deep, allowing the sun and the rain to produce in it a crop, doing what they've been created to do. The Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What if we're the same in some ways? We have very little ability to control the fruit we produce. We cannot change the soil we've been planted in. We cannot control the rain that refreshes or maybe floods. We cannot control the light that shines on us. What if all we can do is put our roots down deep into the soil of God's Word? Let the Holy Spirit provide the rain and refreshing in our lives as He will. Let the light of God shine on us. And then do what we have been created to do. Those who are in Christ Jesus are new creations. We have the Holy Spirit. We've been given new spiritual life. As we walk with the Spirit and submit to the Spirit, we let Him do what He will in our lives by giving control to Him. Then, we may have freedom to do what we have been created and designed to do, to bear fruit. For myself, I find that I have a very strong tendency to adopt the try harder method. Lord, I've failed. I'll do better next time. I can do it. Maybe that's natural for all of us. But instead, what I may need to do is rest deeper, trust more freely, surrender to His Spirit more fully. I don't know how many times I've gone to the Lord when I'm frustrated and tired and going, Lord, what do I do here? This is so aggravating. This is so irritating. So whatever it is. And what I often sense Him saying is, Wes, will you do this my way? And I grumble a bit, because I obviously know the right answer, but I certainly don't want to admit it or surrender to Him just yet. But when I do, I can't say that that's every time, but when I do, I often ask, what is your way, Lord? How do you want me to do this? And what I sense is be gentle, be humble, be kind, be patient. And if I actually surrender and submit to that, what a difference it makes. And I think that's the fruit of the Spirit being created in me. Sometimes it's a longer process, sometimes shorter, sometimes it's a long-term situation, sometimes a very temporary one. But it's tough to mistake the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives when it comes to bearing fruit. And we can't imitate it. For the next 10 or 11 weeks, we want to study and explore the fruits of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5:22-23. This is the first of a two-part introduction to the series, and we might do a few things a little bit different this time. I'm kind of excited about it, actually. We want to explore the process and the power of the fruits, the freedom and the grace of them. If you want, I would encourage you not only to read the two verses in Galatians, but the whole chapter. I would say, in fact, to get a good idea of what Paul is saying about law and grace, about freedom and slavery, about the Holy Spirit and the weaknesses of our own sinful nature, the flesh, to get a good picture of all that, I would encourage you actually to read all of Galatians with this in mind, and the idea of walking in the Spirit, and what does that look like? What does fruit of the Spirit look like, and where does it come from? To kind of finish us off this morning, it's not going to be a real long sermon, to finish us off this morning, I want to tell a story about my past that illustrates for me the power of the fruit of the Spirit. We're sometimes in awe of a great preacher, or a prophet, or a teacher. And the gifts are an incredibly important part of the Christian's life and the life of the church, the gifts of the Spirit. However, I feel like sometimes we underestimate the fruit of the Spirit. I was once challenged to name 5 sermons that changed my life. And I struggled with that. And I maybe could eventually. I've heard hundreds of sermons, but to pick out 5, sometimes it's tough to remember 5. Never mind 5 that really transformed me or changed me. This isn't to say that preaching isn't important, because it is. It's vitally important. But then I was challenged to name 5 people that changed my life. And I wonder, is that easier for us or more difficult? I found it much easier. What is it about people that impact us so deeply, either positively or maybe negatively? What is it about that? When I was in grade 8, I started going to the church youth group in Lanigan. Throughout 6 years, after high school, even 1 year, there were many different youth group leaders through those years. I remember almost none of the Bible studies, the messages, or even the videos that we watched. But I remember Doug and Brenda. I remember Wayne and Wanda. I remember Dave and Marilyn, among so many others. Why? I remember the kindness, the peace, the joy, and the love. And I always will. That's powerful. 30 years later, I haven't forgotten the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. In fact, as I wrote this and as I try to read it, tears come pretty easy It was the way that it affected my life can't be overstated. It was powerful. Many of you will be familiar with 1 Corinthians chapters 12 to 14. Chapter 12 and 14 talk a lot about the spiritual gifts: preaching, teaching, prophecy, service, administration, leadership. Needed gifts, powerful gifts. But in the middle of these two chapters is the famous chapter on love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. The transition from chapter 12 into chapter 13 is as follows. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. The fruits of the Spirit are often described as different aspects of love. You can kind of look at them in this way or that way, different ways. But no matter which way we look at that fruit, it's worth the effort of walking in the Spirit for so many reasons. But it's worth the effort to exchange our will for His, to give over to Him control of our lives. Because of the fruit that gets produced in us and the fruit that comes out of us and affects others. I'm actually quite excited about where this series might take us and what it might look like for us as individuals and us as a church. Hope that you are blessed this week. Trust that the Lord is working and growing you and walking with you. May you be blessed, and I look forward to seeing you again, getting together sometime, eventually, and fellowshipping. Amen.